Chapter 27. Aboard the Shooting Star. The news of the dissolution of the Treaty of Vontor had been stunning. Mahdi had been torn between elation for the Nyctos and Klaatuinians and the journalistic irritation that she hadn't been there to cover it while it was all unfolding. She had immediately ordered a change of plans to go to Klaatuin to cover what she could of it. Teal Crane and the pilot of the Shooting Star, a Twi'lek named Remek Kulavenar, hadn't been too enthusiastic, but she found that Shota was. Watching him over the last few days had been alternately fascinating, heartwarming, and distressing. The former slave had a great deal to work through emotionally. Sometimes he seemed almost childlike, other times angry. But most of all, he struck her as vibrant, perhaps truly alive for the first time in his life. On the flight to Klaatuin, she recorded a brief essay to transmit to Coruscant. It would be played on the next Per Nedmo news hour. To watch this rebirth, almost into who he now is, it is a privilege, she said, looking right into the cam. It is humbling and frightening and exciting. And to think that his story, from slave to freed being, could be reenacted literally billions of times over. Well, in this reporter's opinion, the galaxy is unprepared for the outpouring of emotions and contributions liberty and freedom could bring it. Governments stand to gain more than they lose. A freed being contributes so much more to a society than a slave. I'm excited to be living at such a monumental time in our history. This is Mahdi Vont, reporting aboard the Shooting Star. Teal usually gave her a smile and some kind of word of approval, or else requested to do another take if he wasn't satisfied with the quality of her work, sound recording or lighting. But this time, he said nothing, and Mahdi was instantly alert. What is it, Teal?
Remek says you've got an incoming message, he said. I didn't want to interrupt the filming, but he says he hasn't been able to identify or trace it.
What did it say? Mahdi had few secrets from her crew, and they were all free to listen to any incoming messages. They were part of a team with the same goal.
It's scrambled, Teal said. Requires you to give a voice sample in order to play.
Mahdi frowned. That's very... Her eyes flew open wide. I wonder... Come on! She raced from the room that served as the set while traveling toward the cockpit, her small crew following her and crowding into the cramped space. Remek glanced up as she entered. Teal told me, Mahdi said. Remek nodded and rose, giving her the controls. She sat down and thumbed a button. This is Mahdi Vont activating voice recognition. Please decode the message. She was trembling as she waited, and then a voice began to speak.
Greetings, Mahdi Vont. I know that you are in receipt of our last letter. Thank you for staying silent on the nature of the Freedom Flight. While we are proud of what we do, and while rumors certainly abound, we would have you reveal more about us at a time of our own choosing.
Everyone was grinning nervously. Mahdi couldn't have wiped the smile off her face if she had tried.
Detour to the coordinates you are about to receive. I will meet you there. Come alone, and I will tell you more about our mission, and give you some information that you will find to be to your benefit.
Alone? Miss Mahdi? Shota said,
stopping himself from using the phrase that, to him, denoted that Mahdi owned him.
I don't like the sound of that. This could be a trap. I'm sure you have amassed many enemies during these reports.
I'm sure too, she said. But the message referenced the letter.
Which could also have been written by someone trying to entrap you, the Chev said. Think about it. You were cautioned not to speak, not to talk about the flight until such time as this mysterious unknown being chose to speak with you.
Mahdi, seated at the helm, glanced up at him. His history made him mistrusting. She imagined he had seen a lot of lies and betrayal in the service of Gumok. And the honest truth was, his argument made sense. She didn't discount that her pieces might be responsible for instigating protests on some worlds, or that more than a few beings might be delighted to see her dead. "There's something called a journalist's instinct," she said. "Some people call it a nose for news. My instincts are saying that this contact doesn't mean me any harm. I've been in worse situations than this, Shota. Really, I have. Thank you for your concern, though." She turned to Remick. "Let's make that rendezvous," she said.